Thank you so much. Hello. Good morning. You are listening to Voice of Vashon, KVSHLP Vashon, your listener supported island connection at www.voiceofvashon.org. Good morning. Hi, Margo.
Hello, Tara.
So we have quadrupled in size here in the studio, right?
Yes, we have.
Who is with us today?
We have Andy James, Kat Eggleston, and Leo Watson with us today.
So these guys are here representing Oscar's Journey, a new play from Vashon Repertory Theater, playing this weekend at the Vashon Center for the Arts, Heron Meadow. So we wanted to get a little bit of a preview and chat with them about the show. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Some very small hair on my microphone. Okay, so we are really interested to know about this show. Andy, can you give us the rundown of what this show is, the name, who wrote it, and what's the gist?
Yes, it's the short name is Oscar's Journey. The long name is Oscar's Journey, The Fall and Rise of the Bird King. Charlotte Tinkin visited Oscar, as a lot of us have, and unlike a lot of us, she immediately thought this needs to be a theater piece. And we're talking about, of course, the troll constructed by Thomas Dambo and his team in the Point Robinson Park. Am I got that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her first thought was, well, let's do a show right here under Oscar in the park, ex-nade that. But she ran off to several people. She ran off to Brian Willis, who's a friend since forever, and a playwright out of Olympia. And he wrote the play. Actually, I think she physically hauled him underneath Oscar and said, look at that. That's a theater piece, don't you think?
And he sounds said, like Charlotte.
Yes. Yes, it's just like Charlotte. And Brian knows Charlotte well enough that he needs to comply when she has a wish like that. And he did, and she recruited Kat Eggleston to provide the music for the play, and she recruited me to direct it, and the idea is that it is for a multi-generational audience, and it includes a multi-generational cast.
Nice.
And she also worked out with the VCA, because we couldn't use the space where Thomas lives, to provide the Heron Meadow next to the VCA. People will recognize it if you're on the way to Chautauqua Elementary School, and there's a picturesque old wooden shed looking building at the top. That's the top of that meadow. A lot of people have never been in it.
It also features beautiful paintings by Britt Frieda.
Oh, all right then. Yeah,
who did the bird paintings in there.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And the space has been mowed, but there's no seating provided. So I got to tell people, bring your blanket and ideally your camp chair.
Low profile camp chair, whatever you bring to concerts in the park, that kind of chair.
Exactly.
And non-alcoholic beverages was specified in the press release.
Yeah. So. And we are pretending to be a traveling troupe that goes from town to town.
Cool.
We wheel the set down. We set it up in front of you. We say, hear ye, although not literally. And it's a little bit of a Renaissance fair feeling. And we do our ridiculous show for about an hour. And then we pack up the set and roll back up the hill. And there may or may not be children tossing candies and cloves of garlic into the audience, and there may or may not be fart sounds provided by the director.
Awesome. I just want to take a quick step back. For those of you who are listening who don't know, Vashon Repertory Theater is one of a couple of theater groups on the island.
Way too many.
There are a lot. Andy represents the high school drama department largely. Mm-hmm. And we also have Drama Doc, of course, but this is Vashon Repertory Theater. So I just want to do a shout out to their accomplishments. Their website is vashonrepertorytheater.org. Their mission statement reads, the short version is thought-provoking, intimate, story-driven theater that brings to light issues meaningful to our time and place on earth. So let's talk about the actors. So, Leo, you are one of the actors. What's your role and what's going on?
Well, I'm going to be playing Oscar. And yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with the character. He's like Andy said, trolls are like a triangle. They're clumsy, scary, and lovable.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're bringing that to to the role.
I'm going to be bringing that to Oscar.
He really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Okay.
Yeah. Leo's great. Just saying that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
And is this a straight play, a musical, a hybrid?
I'd say it's like a hybrid.
Yeah.
Would you say it was a hybrid?
Yeah. No, there's somehow we got Kat to write some songs for this, which I don't even know. Was that the original idea?
I'm not sure. I mean, when Charlotte talked to me about doing this thing, she said, I want you to write some music for it, and I did the thing you do.
So Leo sings.
And I said yes.
Leo sings.
There's lots of music in it. I would call it a musical. Play with music, I suppose.
Sure. I suppose, yeah.
Lots and lots of music.
Yeah.
So is this all ages appropriate?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right, so kids are welcome. And I understand it's a pay what you will at the gate. Is that what it, that's what it says here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It's playing at 6:30 on Friday, 4 and 6:30 on Saturday, and 4 on Sunday in the Meadows. So we'll provide all that information, but you can be researching it yourself at VachonRepertoryTheater.org. So Leo, what is your acting background interest? How did you get started?
Well, I did mostly child theater for my... I started pretty early. I'd say I was about 8, maybe 9 when I started doing theater.
Mm-hmm.
I did mostly, like I said, children's theater. And I did get brought on for one other play. It was Winghaven Park. That happened mm-hmm. like a year mm-hmm. or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was in that. Then I did another theater, Seussical. And then from there, I took a little break for about a year. And mm-hmm. then I decided I would do Oscar, how Oscar became the Bird King.
Nice. Okay, great. And Kat Eggleston is in the house.
Yay.
Yes.
It's hard to get me to be articulate before noon. I will let you know up front.
Oh, it's only 11:06, so you're good. You're almost there.
Okay. I'll do the best I can.
Buy a little bit more time for her.
So what is your relationship with the Oscars Journey show?
Well, it was just because Charlotte asked at first. I hadn't even seen Oscar yet.
But oh, then, the troll.
The troll. So I went to see him and was utterly smitten by Thomas Dambo's artwork.
Who,
so
right.
I did a ton of research and looking into what he's been doing and how he, I don't know how he approaches every different troll that he makes. There's over 100 of them all over the world now and mm-hmm. all found material, and it's just stunning. And I love the concept of trolls anyway. Because folklore and mythology and fairy tales, stories, they're all kind of part of our collective unconscious anyway. They can represent things about being human that we don't address directly.
Mm.
And so I just find them utterly fascinating.
Yeah, it's been really interesting, the presence of Oscar on the island since he got here, and how people talk about him and how people are affected by him and the reports that I hear from the tourists and from the locals alike, and how every single person who comes and visits the island, the first thing the family does is take them to see the troll now. And then just conversely, the relationship of all of those people coming down to Point Robinson, mm-hmm. you know, and how that affects the traffic down at Point Robinson and how busy it gets down there. I know that there's been sort of both a love-hate relationship with the whole thing, but ultimately I think people talk about him very affectionately. And they feel very moved by him. Like there's definitely,
I would say
so. Yeah. And the fact that his eyes follow you when you walk around, and how they designed him. And then I've seen the one in West Seattle. Have you seen any of the other trolls?
Not yet.
No.
I saw the one in West Seattle, and she's fantastic. It's a walk. You have to walk along the waterfront by the pool. She's across from the pool.
Apparently Thomas Dambo subcontracts to whoever will volunteer to build the trolls locally. Until he gets to the eyes and everyone has to leave. And
really?
He and his crew put the eyes in, so no one knows how the eyes work.
Wow. Okay.
And there's
okay.
no mechanical thing, by the way.
No.
Just concavity.
Yeah, it's just an interesting illusion effect. Yeah. Do you want to say something?
Oh, I just wanted to say I also saw the troll that was on the west side. I was over in Seattle with my family, and I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw there's a book at a coffee shop in West Seattle. Our favorite place, Birdhouse, and they have a book about the story of the Bird King, the whole story, that Oscar ends up being the last troll in the story.
Yeah.
Does that factor into this?
No, it's a completely different story. And I think one of the things about the trolls is that they're a social event. You get this beautiful thing dropped into your community, and then you have to figure out what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing you can do with it is make up your own story, which I think is what we've done here.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the longer dilemma of, are we going to keep Oscar together? Because it's made to fall apart.
10 years, I heard from the chamber, they said in 10 years, he's supposed to start decomposing naturally.
And are we going to be able to do that? You know, now we're used to that in theater because I've had to walk my kids in high school through the fact that you put so much into a show and then when it's done, you literally tear it apart, throw it away, and it's gone forever. But, you know, Oscar, the troll sculpture is going to give us that same dilemma. And so I think that there's a little bit of that in the way that we're doing the show. Roll it in, pack it out, goodbye, it's over. I think Charlotte has some dreams of doing this again, but who knows?
But I think that's what's really cool about theater, because I think some people, especially in the Northwest, are afraid of long-term commitment anyway.
Yeah.
as we've seen as an event organizer and producer of various things in the Northwest, no one likes to RSVP and no one likes to buy tickets ahead of time.
Right.
So it fits with our essence here in the Northwest. I wanted to point out that this is just the first in the 2024-2025 season.
Correct.
Is that how this is the first show in the 2024-2025 season? Mm-hmm. And there's some pretty exciting stuff coming up. I know I've talked to Charlotte, who's the director of the whole shebang, about the Women's Incubator series, the Playwright Incubator series that's happening in the top of the year. Is it called The Legend of Edgar Sawtelle?
If you scroll down, you'll see it there.
It's written at the bottom.
There it is.
All right. The Story of Edgar Sawtelle by David Rebluski starts October 10th. So we'll have all this in the show notes on the website after the fact that this show is going on. So, Kat, do you want to play us a little something from the show?
I would love to.
Great.
What is it going to be? Do you have any thoughts on that, Andy?
How about Ingrid's traveling song?
Okay. Okay, good. Well, I'll start with
whatever is easiest for you to call up to your mind before noon.
Start with the first version of that. Then it's so this show was so impossibly fun to work on. It was just great. So the playwright Brian is somebody who helped a lot with me putting together the Cyclone Line, my play some years back, and I've never had a chance to collaborate with him until now, and it's been an absolute dream. So we had, can I tell them anything about this storyline?
Sure.
Tell them
sure.
There's a construct at the beginning where the troll mother gives, it's a changeling story, switches her baby with a human baby. Mm-hmm. And then the story ensues with much slapstick and all sorts of also deep things. And so Andy came up with the question of why exactly would she do that? And we had a long conversation about that. And me being sort of a folklore lover, I was checking into the changeling story, and there isn't very much about trolls in there. It's usually the fairies trying to create a fake baby and doing a fake sort of like a cuckoo's nest switch. But the answer we came up with was that there's an ongoing story plot that every one of these characters is involved in, and they just kind of have to be bound to it.
Love it.
And the beauty of writing music for something like this is that it's sort of like you can provide a little bit of an outside perspective within the action of the show, so you can talk about things that the characters themselves can't, really. So this particular song has five verses. They're all different, some in different time signatures, but I'll start with the troll mother singing her goodbye verse to Oscar as a baby who is, hilarious. But fly, my little dove, far or near, my love, anywhere your road takes you. All the stories say you'll return someday, wiser than those who made you. Why they tell us so, we may never know. We may only follow. So it's only right I stand here tonight, little bird, to let you go. It changes as the story goes on, but every verse in it, one of them being Oscar's and two of them being Ingrid's, the human girl,
mm-hmm.
They all mention whatever part of the story they're in at the time.
So
Oscar says, Oscar's particular verse is being stuck in that I'm going out on an adventure and I don't even know what's going to happen next, but the story is just kind of, you know, a mystery. And Ingrid says, oh, I don't know about this. Basically, so I want to see if I can do that one. Listen to the wind singing out again, warning me of danger. At this place and time in the storyline, a traveler meets a stranger. I should have guessed there would be a test in some wooded hollow. But I refuse to play, this is where I stay, no one's gonna make me go.
Yay.
So that gives you an idea of how it changes over time.
Yeah, beautiful, great. And so the process of writing this, did you go based off of the script or did you just go hang out with Oscar and understood the basic storyline, or how did you come up with?
Well, a lot of it had to do with a sort of collaborative effort that we had with Brian and with Andy and Charlotte and anybody who was involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain aspects of creating the story that Brian wanted to emphasize, and so we would talk about that. And Andy came up with some fabulous ideas that gave great ideas to, you know,
yeah,
the song structure.
So I just wanted to catch everybody up. If you're just starting to tune in, my name's Tara, and I'm here with Margot Tantau, and we are doing a little edition of the Morning Scramble this morning, and we are talking with the players and folks from the new play from Vashon Repertory Theater, Oscar's Journey, The Fall and Rise of the Bird King, which is opening this weekend. We just heard from Kat Eggleston, who composed and is performing for us here in the studio. And we also have director Andy James and Leo Watson, who is playing Oscar. I also want to do a little shout out. These are some names of the people who are involved in the show, which people might recognize. Brian Palermo, of course, an improv actor we know from The Island. Stephen Stern, also. I've worked with him on 1448. He's great. Michael Wischkowski, Holly Johnson, Casey Alanis, Maya Craw, Kenny Alton, and then the youth actors are Leo here in the studio with us, Indigo Walton, and Utisa Durahim. And then also the way that this has come together on the set and costume side is costumer Jennifer Matthews came from Tennessee to do the costumes. Is that true?
Yeah, she's come out a few times.
Oh, that's great. And then Brooke Osmond is a newcomer to the island. And I know I've seen Brooke's posts looking for cardboard,
yes,
and things to, yeah, make part of the set to follow along with Dombo's recycled, oh, yeah, materials and sustainable approach to,
yeah,
art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a makeshift set. And yeah, it's a makeshift and made from scraps where possible. I want to mention Lily Fevier also in the cast.
Yes.
And Stephanie Blower has been is the student intern on the costume and is a force to be reckoned with.
Awesome.
Force to be reckoned with. And Frances Alexander made a mask that I won't talk about, and because of the surprise, and I'm sure there are others that we're forgetting.
How did the set come to be? Because there's so much emphasis from Thomas Dombo on the recycled nature and things like that. And just from what you said, the set kind of comes to be as the show starts. Did you have an image for that in your mind? Or?
Well, there's a troll side and a human side. And you know how theater is, you could just say, here's where the trolls are, and then you suddenly imagine that that's troll world.
Right.
This is human world. And then there's a bridge to cross over because that's in between. So some of it is, I guess, symbolic, but mostly it just came down to what can we roll down the hill and plop into place and suddenly just declare this is a theater, you know, string up a big background behind it. The aesthetic is that everything, as much as possible, is visible. It happens right in front of you. There's no, you know, there's certainly no video projections. The audio will just be as it is, just live in the in the space. No speakers blasting sound at you, no background sounds, you know. If there are sounds that need to happen, people will make them with their bodies and their, you know, the things that they have.
Nice.
And again, you know, it's a little bit of a feeling of the wandering troupe, which we kind of have become, which is part of the fun of the process.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. I think it will be so great to have it in the Meadow too, because they haven't put on a production there like this yet.
And we had to observe the rules of pack in, pack out. Mm-hmm. So we've had some lengthy discussions about, you know, how can we make that as genuine as possible. There are a couple of things preset, very small things that you won't see. Other than that, it really is just we have to pretend we're on a camping trip with our whole rig to make a show happen.
As do the audience members. So the audience members are also pack in, pack out. Yep. There are no chairs provided, so you need to bring a blanket or a low profile camp chair to enjoy the performance. And probably be conscious of wearing shoes that are appropriate for walking in a meadow.
Yes.
That's important to know. Mm-hmm. What about weather? What if what happens last Saturday happens?
Well,
for
in
years?
Worst case scenario, our dream evaporates, but I don't think that's going to happen. If it's I think our biggest worry was about forest fire smoke, but I don't think that's materializing. So
thank goodness. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be good with that.
Otherwise, we're rugged. Are you rugged?
We're Pack Northwest. Okay, we're rugged. Yeah, it's not about bad weather. It's about bad gear.
Yeah, exactly.
Wear the appropriate gear.
And sometimes bad people, but we don't care about that.
So any final thoughts before I give all the details and the who, what, when, where, why, how of this weekend's show?
I just want to point out that we cast Leo as Oscar because if you look carefully, his eyes follow you around the room.
Yes, that is true.
That is true. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to give our last who, what, when, where, why, how, and we'll let you go. So this weekend is Oscar's Journey from Vashon Repertory Theater. The full name of the show is Oscar's Journey, the Fall and Rise of the Bird King, a new play from Brian Willis. This is from the Vashon Repertory Theater. This is directed by Andy James, original music by Kat Eggleston, and featuring many of our favorite actors and talent from the island. This takes place this weekend at the VCA, Vashon Center for the Arts, Heron Meadow. It is an outdoor performance. It is pay what you will. And there are four performances. Friday, August 23rd at 6:30, Saturday at 4 and 6:30, Sunday at 4 p.m. That's this weekend. Bring a chair, bring a blanket, bring a non-alcoholic beverage of your choice, a suggested donation of $20. It is pay what you will. Find out more at Vashon Repertory Theater. org. And also a plug that tickets are on sale for the entire 2024-2025 season already from Vashon Repertory Theater, and they would love to have your support booked for the season. The next show is the story of Edgar Sawtelle, opening in October. Thank you, everyone, for being with us.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Thanks.
We're going to go right back into our playlist.